Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 18th edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Hightower, Westchester, your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that Service built, and Accorda Therapeutics.
Life, science.
Yes, indeed, Mixmaster Matt Cahan. And don't forget, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio and follow us on Instagram at Andrew C. Shark. And now, the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and we're welcome to it. It's Fran's World with your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How did you guys have a good New Year's?
We did.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, we have a great show lined up for you today, but I want to kind of catch up with you guys about, well, what did you do for a New Year's?
I actually went to a New Year's meetup party, actually, the night before. I hadn't done that in years with a friend who's in radio. Actually, he's going to be joining us for our other project coming up. But, yeah, he hosted his own New Year's party in Norwalk, Connecticut. And we actually watched the ball drop on the big screen. And
oh, nice.
Dancing. The drinks were flowing.
And you didn't have to be standing in the rain.
Yeah, that's true. It was raining very heavily that night, and it was a blast. I mean, it was well attended. A lot of good people. I wish I could do that again.
Oh, great. And what were you up to, Matt?
Well, we had just a happening night. My wife and I took my mother-in-law out to eat, and then we were back home by about 9 p.m.
Boy, I'm telling you, you people know how to party. Jim, yeah, I'm going with you.
I stayed up after midnight.
No, yeah. Did you even stay up to midnight, Matt?
I stay up till midnight basically almost every night, so for me it's just one more night that comes around. But my wife did stay up. She usually goes to bed about 8:45 at night, but she was up most of the night.
I'm telling, that was your party night. Really.
Party animal he is, right?
Well, normally, you know, I do the midnight run because I like starting the New Year, the New Year's off, you know, running into the New Year. But what happened was everybody, like my husband and Spencer and his girlfriend, they were like, we don't want to run in the rain, blah, blah, blah. We want to do something indoors. So I was trying to find something really cool that we could do indoors. So first, we had a party at the house, and we were doing giant Jenga, and we were playing all these things. But what I arranged for everybody, which they didn't know, was we started the New Year off doing hatchet throwing. So I figured,
Ooh, yeah.
So I call the place and I go, so what do you have to do for hatchet throwing? They said, well, there's three things. I said, well, what are the three things? They said, so you have to be over 18. I said, okay, all of us are, no problem. They said, you have to wear closed-toed shoes. I go, I don't know how much that's going to protect you against the hatchet, but all right. And then the last thing they said was BYOB. I said, what do you mean?
Bring
your own booze?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah. I said, who thought it was a good idea to have sharp objects and booze in the same room? She goes, oh, don't worry. It's not hard alcohol. I go, people can still get drunk on beer.
I never heard of BYOB since my college days, and we were a dry campus.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, hatchet throwing with the bring your own booze, so they were a case of beer in that.
Would you say that the event was a cut above the rest?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, this is why he's the engineer. And now, I love it. I love it.
Why am I thinking of that Ed Ames segment on Johnny Carson years ago? When
that exactly. I need to throw like a broom.
1964,
thing to
it, right?
But anyway, so we went there, and I said to her, just keep us away from the drunk hatchet throwing people. But it was like darts, but with hatchets. And you're in like these individual cages, and they're trying to tell you, how to throw it with two hands. Finally, my husband and Steve said, the heck with this. They threw it with one hand, and they started getting bullseye. The only thing you had to be careful about is sometimes you get so excited, you turn around with the hatchet in your hand, and the people are standing behind you. There's no gate, no fence. So, you don't want to go, hey, how you doing? And all of a sudden a hatchet goes flying. So I did that. And then the other thing is I just got back. I sound a little raspy. I just got back from Florida. A friend of mine, moved to Florida. She retired. I'm like, no, I cannot have a retired friend. And so she's like, no, but we're going to do this really fun thing. I said, what are we going to do? She said, we're going to go to Mayaca State Park. I said, well, what's there? She goes, every morning they give out 30 permits, and you go to the park, and what happens is you walk 2.5 miles into the park, and there are hundreds of alligators just lying in the sun. Now, you have to sign a release form, mind you. You're not supposed to go so close. So, of course, the night before, I looked it up, like, what do alligators like to eat? And they said small dogs, chicken, and marshmallows. I don't know who came up with how you could figure out the marshmallows. But they said they run on land 30 miles per hour. So, and they said that they have bad hearing. That's false. They said they have bad eyesight. That's false. So we get there, and they say, oh, it's a rainy day. You know, none of the alligators are going to be out or whatever. So we get there, and the alligators, it's as if they went to a bakery and took numbers. Jim, Matt, they were lined up, hundreds of them, in the water where you would see their eye, and then 5 feet behind them would be another one, and another one, and another one. Hundreds, all their eyeballs in the water.
Wow.
As it got warmer, they started coming up on the shore. Now they were like 100 feet away from us, then 50 feet away from us, then 25 feet. So we decide we want to get a good picture. We get close, and we see this one alligator in front of us. He's looking at us. We're looking at him for a good 15 minutes. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. He turns and start swimming as fast as he can towards us. Me and my friend, like, start running. We're like, okay, we don't want to get that close. Then after he was on the land for a while, we got a little closer. So we're like 20 feet from him. They were like 12 feet long, 800 pounds, and we're standing next to these alligators. And so somebody said, well, what would you have done if they chased you? Now, I love my friend Vivian, but, you know, the whole premise is you don't have to run faster than the alligator, just than the other person that's there. You know, maybe throw, put some marshmallows in her pocket, chicken or vivam. Only kidding, in case you're listening.
Survival of the fittest.
Exactly. And you know, no, but we would just run. We would go down fighting. They said punch an alligator in the face. I don't know how much that's going to do, you know,
yeah.
But.
I mean, that's a long snout on that thing. I don't know if you can just, you know, hit it or what, but I was told you're supposed to run in a zigzag fashion.
Oh, I looked it up. That's not true. Apparently, they catch up to you faster in a zigzag fashion.
Oh, that's then I wouldn't do that then.
I'll say one thing about alligators. They got a great set of choppers.
They do, and all their teeth show, right? So, you know, Jim trying to look at the positive side of it.
I know. Well, like talking about teeth.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway, we're gonna cut to a commercial break here, and then we're gonna come back and talk to one of our guests. So stay tuned for more Fran's World: humor, health, happiness, passion. And if you ever wanted to learn how to be a fantastic speaker or you're into martial arts, stay tuned.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Fran's World, and we're back. And of course, we're at Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. So, first of all, you know, where would we be? This show is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by our sponsors, Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Lipolsky Electric, Genesis Exhibits, Facelift Remodeling, and the White Plains YMCA, plus many, many more. We'll be talking about later because we love our sponsors. Yes, we do. All right, so where am I heading after this, guys? Right after this, I'm going to Atlantic City. Why am I going to Atlantic City? I am going for the ultimate destination. Nation, which is the ultimate destination for health and fitness, martial arts, and MMA, mixed martial arts enthusiasts. Now, it's going to be at the Tropicana. I'm going down to Atlantic City. Who's sponsoring? Now, if you remember, I was in that film Father and Father, and that's the one that won 17 awards, and Tom Renner and Mark Goldman were the stars in it, and they played the two priests. Well, the guy that threw me in the trunk of the car in Father and Father is Kung Fu Master Alan Goldberg. Now, Alan Goldberg, he has been studying martial arts for over 5 decades. He is an esteemed teacher known all around the world. He is known as the godfather of martial arts, and he's been inducted into 66 halls of fame. He is the publisher of Action Martial Arts Magazine, which is the largest free magazine in the martial arts read around the world. He's also the creator of Action Martial Arts trading cards, and this weekend in Atlantic City, right now as it's happening, is the Action Martial Arts Magazine Hall and Honors Mega Weekend, which includes the Halls of Honor, Expo, trade shows, seminars. It's been held in Atlantic City for like 10 decades. Not 10 decades. The guy would be 100 years old. 10 years. Okay. And it's got seminars. They're having demonstrations. Tom, who's on the show, he's going to be doing a one-hour demonstration. And then they have this gigantic dinner where all these film stars in martial arts like Cynthia Rockwert and Don the Wilson are going to be there. David Morse is going to be there from Green Mile. Tons of people, 1,200 people, and I'm going to be speaking to them tomorrow night. So if you guys are into martial arts at all, you definitely want to go to this place, which is tonight, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And there's vendors, there's certificates being handed out, there's everything you want to learn. Every kind of martial arts is happening there. Anyway, we have a lot more show coming up. I'm just running through these things today here. And we have, now, if you ever wanted to be a speaker, and if you heard of TEDx, if you didn't, you're crazy. I mean, because if you're a speaker, TEDx, everybody knows what that is. Our next speaker is going to be talking about that, plus all these other things that she's into. We'll be right back with Fran's World for more humor, health, happiness, right here at City Center Live.
Look outside your window. What would you like to see? Imagine all the things that could be done. Your property at Michael Labriola. We've led the field over 35 years. Our expert staff brings all their best to give you what you need.
For more than 40 years, Michael Labriola Incorporated has provided complete landscape construction and site development services that will add beauty, enjoyment, and value to your property. Want to make some changes to your landscape this spring? Maybe extending your living space to the outdoors with a functional outdoor kitchen or adding a patio or walkway? Michael Labriola Incorporated can evaluate your property and offer creative ideas. 914-273-6530. Commercial properties always welcome. Learn more at michaellabriolainc.com.
Michael Labriola, our last name is the first name in landscapes.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Well, then we're back here, Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. Everybody's walking around having a great time. Anyway, we are produced by Shaw Creative and made possible by our wonderful, fantastic sponsors: Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, Reverso Associates, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Michael Labriola Inc., Salem Golf Course. And don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store, Westchester Talk, and like us on Facebook. Why wouldn't you like us on Facebook? If you don't like us on Facebook, that's not going to work. You need to hit the like button. Anyway, we have a fantastic guest waiting just to talk to you right now, and her name is Tricia Brooks. She's an award-winning director. She also writes and choreographs for theater, film, and television. In addition to her work in the entertainment industry, she applies her expertise to the art of public speaking. She's the executive producer of Speakers Who Dare, which is launching on March 26, 2019. She's also TEDx producer. She's choreographed Black Box on ABC, The Affair on Showtime, Rescue Me on Fox, and John now I always pronounce that right.
It's John Turturro.
Thank you. See, that's why you have somebody standing next to you. Romance and Cigarettes, where she was awarded a Golden Thumb Award from Roger Ebert. The series Sublets won Best Comedy at the Vancouver West Web Festival. The documentary short she directed and produced, This Dinner Is Full, was the official selection at the New York Women in Film and Television Short Festival, as well as New York City Independent Film Festival. Boy, this woman has a lot of credits. She curates and hosts the Speaker's Salon in New York City, The Big Talk, a podcast on iTunes that gives expert advice on public speaking, and directs and produces The Big Talk Over Dinner, a new TV series. I'm exhausted just from reading all of her credits. Anyway, welcome to the show, Tricia. How are you?
Fran, I am so excited to be here, but I too am exhausted.
You're like, man, I did a lot of things in my life. Okay. All right. Well, listen, you've accomplished a lot in your life, and you told me you've been doing it all your life. So that you, what were you, like, determined as a child, and you said, Mom, I'm going to produce shows, like, as soon as you came out of the womb. I mean, like, how did you know this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I knew I was going to go to New York City and dance with Baryshnikov. I knew that was on my list of to-do things. And I actually did. I moved to New York from Missouri. I got my dance degree, moved to New York City, and started pursuing a career in classical modern dance. Had an awesome career, worked with some amazing people, including Misha, and then decided I wanted to be on the other side of the table. I wanted to tell other people what to do. So as a very organized person, it gave me a real skill set in terms of a director. Directors really just need to be organized and hire really good actors, and then everything falls into place, frankly.
Well, I think you're not giving yourself enough credit, because there are some directors who can be organized and, you know, tell people what to do, but at the same time, you know, if they don't have that vision of what they want, you know,
well,
then it won't come
true.
Yeah.
That's true. I've always had a vision of what I wanted, and it's always been bigger than me. It's really about making the world a better place. So today, the reason I get up in the morning is so that I can put people who have important messages onto a big stage or onto a big screen. That is what it's all about for me.
Now, when you're saying doing that, is it just limited to actors and actresses, or you're also now, in, you know, you did the TED Talks, so that's also speakers, so it's a little bit different, you know, it's a different type of venue.
It's a different type of venue, and what's different about it is that speakers, it's all about the message. Actors, it's all about the actor. So I get an opportunity now to really work with people and speakers who want to make a difference in the world by sharing a very important message. And so I've been able to put amazing human beings onto the TEDx stage, onto the new platform, Speakers Who Dare. And I also make documentary films about people who are making a difference in the world, like Justin Van Boydish, who is the Buddhist chaplain at Rikers Island, who teaches meditation to the corrections officers. He's really holding space for a very intense population. And my whole point of telling these stories is to motivate, inspire, and to get people thinking about how they show up in their own lives.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, that you say that, because if you didn't just tell me that story right now, why would I ever think that there's a guy teaching, you know, Buddhism, you know, a meditation to the prisoners there? But that could be such a way of them learning anger management and everything else. And it's such a simple way for them to, you know, go internal. But that's such a great story. But who would know that if you didn't reveal it?
Right, right. And I think that's part of my job, is to find these stories, to find these speakers and these people who have really important messages to share, and highlight it and give them an opportunity to share it. One of my most amazing speakers, Kristen Smedley, she came to me and she said, I want to do a TED talk. And I was not yet a TEDx producer. And I said, let's make it happen. So she said, I want to do a talk about retinal disease. She has three kids, and two were born blind with this rare eye disease. So we began talking about it, and she started a foundation, and she'd been talking about this disease and raising money for 16 years. But what we came to at the end of our first conversation was that her talk and her idea was about how she learned to see the world differently through the eyes of her sons. And that is when the idea became global, and it had an effect on all of us, because whether we have kids or whether we have blind kids, we can learn to see the world differently through the eyes of someone else. And that's why public speaking is so impactful.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're not only just finding the people and doing it, you're also, you have a speaker salon in New York City where you coach the speakers. And can you explain a little bit about that? Because maybe there's somebody that's listening that has a message they want to get out, but they're not sure how to do it. So can you explain a little bit about your salon?
I would love to, Fran. The salon is an incubator for speakers. It's a safe space for people to show up once a week with me at a theater, the Triad Theater. They get to work on content. They get to try out openings and closings. They get to fall flat on their face if they need to, so that we can accelerate what it means to share a really important idea and give them an opportunity to actually deliver and perform this talk in front of their peers. And that's what's so cool and so amazing about it, is the observation part of the salon is equally as important as actually getting up on stage. And the other part of the salon is that I give them a showcase at the end. So they perform a 6-minute talk in front of the top speaker bureaus and influencers in New York City.
Now, is a TED Talk normally, I mean, I thought they were longer. Is it normally 6 minutes, or this is for your salon, it's 6 minutes?
I limit the talks to 6 minutes for my salon, because 5 weeks up to the 6th week of the showcase, we're really working on technique. So they've got a couple weeks to actually rehearse and memorize. So if they were rehearsing an 18-minute talk, which is the number TED gives you, they wouldn't have time. So I limit it to 6 minutes. It's also really a wonderful way to flex the muscle of editing, because 6 minutes is not very long, and you need to understand what it is you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a stand-up comic, I know when they say, oh, you only get 2 minutes. You're like, what? 2 minutes? That's like one of my jokes. What are you talking about? I need at least a half an hour. You know, you have in your head, like, you know, how long you need or whatever to do. So to be able to edit down and just get the golden nuggets out of it, that makes a key difference. Now, the other thing is, you have this Speakers Who Dare that's launching March 26. You wanted to speak a little bit about that?
I would love to. Speakers Who Dare was conceived when I thought it was important to put speakers on a stage who are talking about the things we are thinking. There's a lot happening right now, and there's a lot of thoughts being thrown around, and nobody's actually putting words to their thoughts, and it's very important to me to give people who have important messages a platform to speak about that. So I've invited 20 speakers to take my stage on March 26th. Of course, it's going to be surrounded by Broadway singers and music and a stand-up comedy and a host. It's a very theatrical event. I call my events Theatrical Academia.
Uh-huh.
So it's an opportunity for people who love the TED platform to come in and really watch the ideas that are making a difference in the world be delivered by experts and visionaries and people who are not afraid to say what we are thinking.
So it's going to be almost like a combination. I mean, not a variety show per se, but it's an event. It's an all-day event. So if somebody wanted to come, they can come for the morning part, or they can come for the afternoon part, but they're still going to get something out of it. It's not like they have to watch the morning, you know, or they won't get what's happening in the afternoon. Is that true or not?
That's absolutely. We're separating the event into two halves, like a first act and a second act, and they are individual, but they're also a whole. So if you come to the first and second act, you will be inspired the entire time. But if you only want to attend one of the acts, you won't miss anything. And really, it's an opportunity to spend the day with some incredible people. And I'm also limiting the time in terms of the speakers. They all get 8 minutes, because I think you can say impactful, important messages without droning on. And it gives me an opportunity to have more speakers share important messages.
So let me ask you something, because, like, I mean, I do speaking around the world, right? And a lot of the things that I do when I talk is because I'm also a stand-up comic, I have a tendency of doing a story and then I give the message, because I don't like to, for me personally, just give the message. So I'll tell the story and go, now the reason I tell you that is because, and then I give them the reason, which relates back to the story. Are there speakers that speak in that manner that when you're doing your March 26th event?
Well, I think that if you're a good speaker, you are credible, vulnerable, and relatable. And credibility really comes with the 10,000 hours. It comes with your experience, not necessarily the letters after your name.
Right.
The vulnerability comes from the storytelling. That's exactly what you're saying, Fran, is that you become vulnerable by sharing a personal story. And that also ties directly in with the relatability. So if a speaker walks onto that stage and they are credible, vulnerable, and relatable, and they understand how to take us on a journey and potentially get us to think differently at the end of their talk, then they have done their job.
Great. Yeah, because I mean, I always feel like for me personally, like when I do the story, I do it because I feel that people can remember a message better if they go, oh, she's the one that told the story of going down to the Titanic and this, and then she told us, you know, the reason, and then, you know, obviously whatever the reason is for each individual story that I'm saying, because I feel if I entertain and motivate at the same time, it's more memorable. And I don't, and there's so many times, I mean, I'll actually, and obviously I wouldn't do this if I was doing a, you know, TED Talk or whatever, but so many times, like if I see something happening at the moment, because I'm a stand-up, I have no fear of getting off the stage or saying something, obviously not in a show that's, you know, the, you know, timed and things like that, and just going, you know, I was going to tell you this, but instead I'm going to do this, because I feel like they know that I'm real when I'm doing it. But this is me 25 years of doing stand-up, so, you know what I mean, I'm not scared to, you know, go off.
And you're really touching on what I call the technique of being captivating. You do it naturally and organically because it's in your nature. But what I teach my speakers is the technique of objective and action. You have to know what it is you want from the audience. Do you want them to laugh? Do you want them to pay attention? Do you want them to buy your book? Do you want them to donate to a worthy cause? Those are your objectives. And if you understand what that is, then you can use an action to get it, whether it is entertain or motivate or change gears. And that's all about the listening. You're a highly sensitive listener as a stand-up. If the audience is going in one direction, you're going to go with them so that you can make sure you get that punch.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is a lot of times, I know I speak to some stand-ups who say, oh, you know, I'm scared, I never go off my script. And me, if I see something happening, I'm like, excuse me, sir, let me have that phone for a second. You know, and they're looking. I remember one time, well, we're on the radio, I got to be careful. All right, but whatever. I was going to tell. But there was this kid in the audience. He was trying to act so, you know, like a tough macho guy. And he came in late to the show. And he's over there on his phone and he's up front talking. And I was like, and then his phone rang. I was like, excuse me, give me a phone. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, give me a phone. And I picked it up on the stage. And it was his mother. And she goes, can I speak to Jim? I said, no, he's busy getting a lap dance. Call back later. And the kid's face went from being macho to, oh, no, that was my mom. And I was like, that'll teach you. Don't try to be a big shot at my show. Don't do that again.
So fantastic. And that's exactly right. You were so listening and present in the moment that you got a better laugh than anything you could have planned up short.
And that's the thing. It's like, if you go with the moment, I feel people know. And I'm totally willing, like if I happen to feel moved on stage, I'll say whatever, because I feel like they know, you know, within reason, you have to know what's the boundaries of what to do and what not to do. Now, you know, one thing that I want to say, which was really cool, like when I found out about you, because you had this huge article about you and your partner in Sway Magazine, and they were, oh my God, the accolades. You think I read a long intro for you? It was fantastic. These accolades. And they were talking about how what you're bringing on March 26th is great. But because of that, I went to your website and I wanted to see what you were doing. I signed up for your newsletter. And folks, I want to say, if you decide that you want to do speaking, whether you're a teacher, it doesn't have to be that you want to do speaking per se professionally. But if you are somebody that is regularly in front of an audience, like a teacher, like a, well, whatever, I don't want to necessarily say politician, but whatever, like, you know, whoever. And you want to know how to get your message across. But besides that, you send out these really upbeat, positive emails that I love, because they're filled with like these chewable nuggets of advice. And you sent one recently, which is kind of what we're talking about, where you're telling people that do you. just do you. And I thought that was such great advice because people get nervous and they're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be like, you know, this one talking and that one talking. And I'm always thinking, stop trying to take on someone else's persona on the stage. If they wanted that person, they'd see that person, they'd hire that person, or they'd say you're an impersonator, but you got to speak from the heart. So how do you get those people to come out of the shell that come to you?
I always first remind them that when you are trying to be somebody else, there will be a disconnect with the audience, and it will be so subtle and so almost invisible, but they won't trust you. They won't know why, but they won't trust you. And that is because you're trying to be someone you think they want you to be. When you own who you are and you are completely unapologetically yourself, the audience will connect with you. Whether they like you or not is not important. They will connect with you. So it's most of the time you're chosen to do a speaking gig, you're asked to speak in an event, and you just nailed it. You are asked to do that because of you, not because they want you to be Tony Robbins or they want you to be Oprah. They want you to be you. So I can't say that enough. Always be yourself and never try to be somebody you think they want you to be.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and that's the thing, what you were talking about, that invisible boundary, because I say to people, it's a moment. People can just tell whether you're sincere or not. You can't fake sincerity. I mean, all right, granted, I guess actors do that all the time on a screen, and you look at them and then you get, you know, brought in like, wow, that's not Glenn Close. That's the wife. You know what I'm saying? Whereas there's other actors, for example, like, let's say, right. And that's a totally different thing than doing the speaking. But you also have an ebook out called Step Formula for Fearless Speaking. And it's available to people when they join your community portal. And I love that you have these bite-sized information in there, but then you go on, of course, you know, when they get the book to see more. But you're talking about becoming the speaker you're meant to be, identify the purpose of your talk, which I think is key, because sometimes even when people write a book, I know people come to me a lot and they go, Fran, can you help me write a book? And I go, well, who's this book for? And they go, everybody. I go, okay, can we narrow that down a little? I mean, is it really for everybody? Yeah, the books are everybody. I go, no, you have to think of your niche market. Niche marketing is great. I mean, you can have a more general audience. But to say everybody, you have to really think, who am I trying to reach? Am I reaching the CEOs of the company? Am I reaching the employees of the company? Am I reaching the people that want to get hired by the company? You know, who is your target market? I feel is so key, like what you did with that lady when you were talking about, you know, her wanting to talk about her kids, and you said, but everybody could relate to kids. So what would you say, you talk about bullet points. When you have people speaking, do you generally have them memorize? For me, I'm terrible at memorizing. And even though I've done a lot of movies and things like that, I'm like, oh, no, I got to memorize. For me, I've always been better when I'm just myself. I'd rather just be like the personality as opposed to, you know, going, I got to say it exactly this way. So when you have people speaking and you say generate bullet points of your ideas, is the bullet points to trigger the thing they've memorized, or is the bullet point just for them to move their talk forward to their next point?
Really, the bullet points in the process of creating a talk is all about idea generation. So many people come to me and they think they have the best idea in the world, and I break that open for them because usually it's even more interesting than they think. Or they come to me with absolutely no ideas, and that creates the same amount of paralysis. So it's really important that I help them identify all the different possibilities of what they might want to talk about. And that's really what the idea mining process is all about. In terms of rehearsal and performance, this is another example of do you. You are not somebody who's going to memorize a script. You want to be on your toes. You want to be in the moment. So I would never force a script down your throat. However, I would make sure that you have a roadmap so that you stay on course.
Exactly.
And Yeah, for sure. But and other that, people and, need to have a script. Other people feel safe having a script memorized.
Right. And for me, when I do my talks, I actually do. I have, you know, tell how you broke the world record story, point of story. So that's how I do my bullet points. I go, tell this story, tell the point, and this is the point of that story. Tell this story, this is the point of that story. And then I know in my head how long the stories each are. And because I've kind of been telling them over, you know what I mean? I've been telling them for years. I know my stories, even though I'll, depending on who I'm talking to, the audience, I always make sure I incorporate the message points to whoever hires me if they need specific message points, you know, when you're speaking for a corporation or whatever. And you say, dig deep into the points and connect the dots. And that formulates the flow.
And and because there's an art form to this that people are unaware of, they can't even see that you are actually using technique and the art of speaking. They think that you're just amazing and doing your thing, and you probably just pulled all of this content out of the sky. But what you're sharing with us right now, Fran, is that you are a very highly tuned in machine who understands the technique of speaking.
You know, it's interesting. When you was mentioning Tony Robbins before, I was speaking, I don't remember what event it was, but I was speaking a long time ago, and I didn't know that Tony Robbins' dad was in the audience. I mean, why would I know that? So I'm doing my talk, and then after we did the talk, I was the keynote, and after we did the talk, then there was another thing where they had breakouts to do other things. And so I was watching the other people doing the breakout, and it was really funny. This lady gets up, and she goes, all right, so I'm going to tell you the methods in speaking and blah, blah, blah. She goes, it's going to apply to all of you in the room except for Fran Capo. And I just started, I was like, okay. And then Tony Robbins' dad came up to me afterwards. He goes, I just watched you and I knew you were in the moment. He goes, I knew you knew your stories, but I also knew you were very in the moment. I said, yeah, I can't be the person that, okay, when I say this word, I'm moving the chair over there. And when I say this word, I'm putting the coat on the chair. And when I do this some more, because then I just feel too restricted. And my thing is always like, I need to connect with people, and whatever somebody will say in the audience, like if somebody will say, you know, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's not, you've been a dancer, so you'll get this. Only stand up for some reason, people feel they can yell out stuff.
Yes.
Nobody yells at a dancer, hey, your tutu's crooked. You know, nobody starts yelling that stuff to you. You know, they have the respect for the Broadway for this, but stand up, for some reason, they feel they could just yell out stuff. And so you have to be quick. You have to be able to answer them, or you just got to ignore them and pretend it's not happening, but the whole audience is heard and they're waiting to see, do you have a better answer than what that guy just yelled out? So I always feel that for me, it's, but I got such a big compliment from the Tony Robbins' dad. He actually wrote me a letter. I was like, wow, I'm so, you know, a recommendation letter. And I'm always trying to think of different ways. And this is what I tell people. It's like, if you can't get to something one way, figure out another way to do it. I don't care if you skateboard to get there, take a train, take a bicycle. There's not only one way to do it. So stop feeling like if it doesn't happen this way, that it's not meant to happen.
You can absolutely. It's the same thing. If you want your partner to take out the trash, that's what you want. How you get it changes. You can bribe them. You can pay them. You can seduce them. That's all the different ways of getting what it is you want.
It's funny that you say the trash. I actually have a bit about that. I can't do here. It's because it's a nightclub act. But I have a whole bit about getting my husband bragging about, honey, I took out the trash. I'm like, congratulations. And he's going, no, I took out the trash. And then it's a whole long thing that I can't say on the radio. But anyway, now you have the event that's coming up, Speakers Who Dare, is March 26th at the Triad. They're on 72nd Street in Manhattan. What we said, it's an all-day event, 10 to 4 p.m. You can buy tickets at Speakers Who Dare. Where can they buy tickets if they want to come?
SpeakersWhoDare.com. Tickets are available, and all the speakers are also listed on the website, so you get to know the incredible diverse group of speakers and ideas that we're presenting this year.
And then that's going to be an annual event in New York, but you're looking to take it around the country, right? And the applications are open in September?
Applications open in September. My co-producer, Jamie Broderick, and I, we want to be able to give other cities around the country and the world an opportunity to produce speakers who dare as well.
And that's what the next thing I was actually going to talk about. You have a fantastic partnership with Broderick, because she's like the visibility strategist, like the publicity person. She builds, she's the business building mentor, and you get the speakers to be able to bring the art of performance. So you guys make a great combination, because sometimes you have two people of like minds and you're both creative, but it's not like, you know, the other one's not filling in what the other one doesn't have. So you guys have a perfect, you know, that yin and yang thing or whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
We have a great relationship and a great collaboration. She knows how to get butts in seats. I know how to put butts on stages, and we know how to stay in our own lanes, and we're amazing collaborators. She's a great partner.
That's great. So people basically, you know, this is the butt show. Okay. So we got the butts in the seats. We got the butts in the, you know, well, we got butts everywhere. All right. Now, you're a very daring person, just because every time you like, okay, I want to do this, you're like me. You want to do something, you go after, you do it, and then you're like, all right, next. What do you consider is the most daring thing you've ever done in your life?
The most daring thing I've ever done in my life is produce my new television series, The Big Talk, over dinner, because I am going to be releasing 6 episodes with 5 people talking to me during dinner about things like gender, race, immigration, marriage, politics, leadership, and arts and entertainment. And I'm going to be ruffling some feathers, but I'm going to be also teaching people how to have mindful conversations when you don't share the same opinion.
Oh my God, that's what we need so much right now, because people shut down. What? You don't believe like I do? That's it. The talk's over. That is great. And when is that going to be airing?
I just finished wrapping the shooting, so we're in the editing process right now. So stay tuned.
That is fantastic. So, Tricia, if people want to get in touch with you and be able to, you know, join your speaker salon or just find out more about what you're doing, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way is to go to my website, TrishaBrook.com. That's BROUK.com. You can also download a free ebook today, 7-Step Formula for Fearless Speaking, by texting my name to 44222.
Say it again, just because, you know, people might not have had a pen next to them.
Text my name, TRICIA, to the numbers 44222.
And again, it's Tricia, TRICIA, at Tricia, TRICIA, BROUK.com. And the show's going to be airing again in rerun. We're doing it live right now. So if you didn't hear it, you need to do it again, whatever. But just look her up. There's so many things we talked about. You just go online. You just Google her name. You'll find it. This woman's everywhere. So I thank you so much for being on the show, and good luck with everything. And I look forward to working with you, or, you know, whatever, seeing you somewhere in the future. And we will take it from there. Thank you so much. Guys, this is Fran's World. We'll be back in a moment.
Pasquale Ristorante is the perfect dining experience. Your favorite Italian comfort food, plus the comforts of home away from home. Pasquale Ristorante has been treating you like family for nearly 20 years. And if you need catering, Pasquale will take care of it. Pasquale Ristorante, bringing family, friends, and food together.
Pasquale Ristorante treats you just like family. Pasquale Ristorante, an Italian specialty.
Pasquale Ristorante, 2 Putnam Avenue in Port Chester.
Back, wrapping up the show now. Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. You've been listening to the 18th edition of Fran's World, and as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Matt.
Thank you very much, Fran. It was a great show today.
And Jim, of course, fantastic Jim with the deep, 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 deep voice.
Always great to see you, my friend.
And guys, we'll be back again the end of the month in February, always the last Friday in February. Our next show is February 22nd. And by the way, why not plug? If you're looking for a gift for Valentine's Day, why not get one of my books? You get it autographed, folks. It's they're not expensive. They're great gifts. And we just had somebody on, Tricia Brock, talking about speakers. I have a book called Humor in Business Speaking in Everyday Life that's available at my website, francapo.com. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And then, until then, I want you to focus on what you want, not on what you fear. Like us on Facebook, Westchester Talk, Westchester Talk Radio. Follow us on Instagram. Thank you, guys. Please spread the word to everybody, anybody. Even people walking in the street.
Shark, Shark Creative. Get sold on hold.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.